Hi, my name is Pier Paolo Righi, and I'm the CEO of the Karl Lagerfeld Fashion House, and this is my story on Smack.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Smack Hospitality Podcast, and this is another special episode in collaboration with our friends at the Future Hospitality Summit. This episode features Pier Paolo Righi, the CEO of the Karl Lagerfeld brand. And Pier Paolo and I talked about branded residences in hospitality, what it was like working with Karl Lagerfeld, and the journey of a luxury fashion brand into hospitality. Enjoy the show. Pier Paolo, welcome.
Fritz, good morning.
Thank you for being with us at the FHS World here in Dubai and on the Smack Podcast. When we prepare for the episodes and when, Pier Paolo, what we usually do is we look at, you know, kind of the history of the person and that we have in front of us and what they've done. And
Mamma mia.
Sounds promising. But we'll come to the juicy, fun stories at the end. I'll start with some of the easy ones. The Karl Lagerfeld brand is something that stands synonymous to me, obviously, with Karl's name to this day
and
past 2019 when the late Karl passed away. Walk me through kind of the last couple of years for you guys, because I looked and there's a button on Google that you can click which says news, and there's been a hell of a lot going on in the company. Karl passed away, the pandemic came, which I imagine changed your business model as well in the fashion world to some extent. Walk me kind of through the last couple of years. It must have been, even for someone like you who's been around for a minute or two, it must have been quite the ride.
Yeah, it has been an amazing ride, I got to say. Yeah. And it's interesting you point out 2019, the moment basically when Karl passed away. And it was, of course, a very important moment for us as a fashion house, but also for me personally, because in 2019, I had worked for Karl for quite some years and with Karl. And so I did not only lose a business partner in 2019, but actually a close friend. Yeah. So it was a very difficult moment, I thought. Why? Because when that day when he passed, I had to get in front of the whole team. Mm. I felt a lot of weight on my shoulders. I was, of course, very emotional. But the moment I was in front of my team, everything was entirely different. Different, why? Because I felt that in the room there was the pride and, of course, the responsibility felt that we were from that moment on the very only fashion house that carried his name at the doorbell. So it was not Chanel, it was not Fendi, it was us, the true custodians of his future legacy, so to say. And we have worked until that moment together with Karl to develop and build a brand that could stand on his feet and would stand on his feet after he wasn't there anymore. And but the proof is in the pudding. Mm. And the 5 years now, he has passed 5 years ago, have been from a business aspect definitely an interesting ride and have been very, very successful. We have been growing 20% every year and have ventured into a lot of new ventures and categories and directions. And why did we do that? And it all goes back, if you want, so to 2010, when I sat together with Karl for the very first time, knowing that I wanted to embark the venture with him, building the Karl Lagerfeld brand and house. And we were discussing what the brand and the house should be. Mm. And I remember very vividly, we were in his private house, in Rue de Saint-Père in Paris.
Yeah.
And he said, look, Pier Paolo, what I do when I work for Chanel for Fendi is I interpret the attributes of these houses. Mm. When I want to work for the Karl Lagerfeld house and my brand, I don't want to interpret anything. I want it to be about my attributes, about who I am, my points of interest. And that goes far beyond fashion. It's history, it's literature, it's architecture, it's music, it's a lot of things. And that is what we did. We basically built the house around his attributes. Mm. And that spans much beyond fashion.
Yeah.
And that also continued to be the case after 2019. And that is also why we ventured into areas that were areas of his interest, like architecture, like hospitality, like places, like experiences, and connecting history with the future, looking into the future. So that's a bit the, how can I say, the originating of, or the origin of where we're going, all kind of started with Carl and leads us also
continues
into the
future. Before we talk about your ventures, and there's hospitality obviously being one of the more recent ones, couple sentences for those that didn't meet him or never saw him live. What kind of a guy was he? Was he, because there's, you know, and enough has been written about his legacy, and but from someone who was up close and personal with him, who worked with him, who heard from him his ideas, I mean, that he was one of a kind, I think we can safely all agree.
Yeah,
give me a couple of sentences on what kind of a guy you met and worked with.
Yeah, what I think most people do not realize is a side of him that actually was a side that was extremely important to him, but he always shaded behind his armory. He came across always super cool, some people would say cold, witty, of course, but behind his masquerade, if you want, so his camouflage. But in fact, he was an extremely warm and extremely caring person. He had antennas like nobody else for people, and he cared a lot about people. And that is something that people very often haven't seen, or very seldomly have seen, because he tried to shade it, because he has been such an emotional person that he also felt, I think, vulnerable because of this emotional angle. And I remember situations very early on when we have just started to work together where I was a bit even surprised about things. Like, I remember he was coming to a dinner we hosted at our offices in Amsterdam for the team. It was a big dinner. And he was fashionably late. I picked him up from the plane, and he was about 2 hours late. And rather than worrying about hustling straight into the dining room, he said, "Pierpaolo, I need to first go to the kitchen." I said, "What do you want to do in the kitchen now?"
Crazy story.
And he said, I have to apologize to the people in the kitchen that I'm late, because imagine what a hassle it meant for them to keep all the food ready. So, but that was only one story of many where he was basically, he cared a lot about people. So I think besides what everybody knows about his kind of iconic status and his genius and his wit and his interest in so many different areas, I think his personal side is what touched me most.
There's obviously quite a few. There's quite a few quotes. Funnily enough, my last Karl Lagerfeld memory was a conversation that he had on a German talk show. I'm pretty sure you know exactly which talk show I'm talking about. And it was a big YouTube hit, because it was probably one of the most extraordinary interviews that I ever saw him say. And he said something very interesting about money. And he said that there's a German talk show host, Markus Lanz is his name for those listening in Germany. And the host asked, you know, do you know how much money you have? And he said, "I have no idea. Yeah. And frankly, I don't care." So there's I think some personality elements of people like Carl that are hard to kind of understand if you look at it from the outside. And even that is, you know, the talk show story is a great one. Fast forward a couple of years ago, Pierpaolo, from when you first met him, how the hell does the Karl Lagerfeld brand wake up one morning and say, "Let's do hospitality"? Walk me through how that conversation started. Any doubts in the process, especially at the beginning? You know, is this going to be received? Because I would imagine when you guys started it, it wasn't as fashionable, to stay on brand topic, as fashionable to look into other businesses when you first had this conversation. When did you have that first conversation?
Absolutely. Interestingly enough, it was not like this moment where you get up in the morning and say, "Oh, okay, we do hospitality now." It actually was an evolution. And it goes a bit back to what I said before in terms of the points of interest of Carl himself. He was very much interested in architecture. He has put a lot of time, effort, love, passion into making his habitats wonderful places. And it was also a journey through decades, from Louis XIV to Bauhaus to all the different eras. And he has done that with a lot of passion and a lot of love, which then led people that he was friendly with asking him whether he could do the same for them. Like, oh, could you help me to basically create my habitat in that and that city on that and that island, which he did privately. And that then developed also for Carl into some projects in the hospitality area, which was more like, oh, not a branded hotel or a branded residence, but more like, oh, can you creatively help us to design the lobby of the the place.
So
therefore it was somehow engraved in what we were doing as a house, respectively Carl was doing himself. And then the real proper project that was a branded project came along still when Carl was alive. It must have been, I would say, in 2016. We have been approached by a developer, a family from Macau that is doing their amazing hotel project and running amazing hotels. And they were asking us, would Carl be interested to design their new hotel project? It should be a Karl Lagerfeld hotel. And when I discussed it with Carl, he immediately, he didn't think about, oh, should we do it or shouldn't we do it? He basically came with the answer and said, like, oh, Macau has such a rich history. It's so amazing. And this blend with Europe, imagine how we could play that and how we could blend the European influence with the Macau influence and the Chinese and all that together. I love the idea. So he was looking at it from a totally from a creative angle and from a cultural relevance angle and what it meant. And then that was literally the first project that we started. It was the Karl Lagerfeld Hotel in Macau. Carl entirely ideated and designed it. And it opened a few years ago, and it looks amazing. And what you will find with that project, it's very bespoke. It's very much true to the history of the landmark and the and the country, and I think that makes it special. And from there, a lot of projects did evolve, but always with the same idea of making them really relevant for the people that will be living there, that will be going there, and very much bringing together the culture, the history of the place with the influence and the attributes of the brand as such.
271 rooms, Michelin-starred restaurant with a Michelin chef. I'm going to say I haven't been, but one of the most spectacular book lounges I have seen in a hot minute in a hotel. And we'll add some footage and some photos to this recording to show the viewers at home. But it looks picturesque, beautiful, the book lounge. I mean, what a place. Spa area, wellness. Walk me through some of the elements that when you do something like that in hospitality as a fashion brand, I would imagine there's a bit more pressure on you to venture out in hospitality, because everyone's going to say, oh, wait a minute. If there is a single piece that doesn't fit in that hotel, they're going to say, well, I would have expected more from Karl Lagerfeld because he's synonymous with, you know, brilliant ideas, very creative design, out-of-the-box thinking. Whereas, with all due respect, but if one of the big hotel chains on the planet, if they have a, you know, a black sheep in their 6,000-7,000 hotels, that, you know, who's really going to start screaming? Whereas if you, who have just started the hospitality venture, if there's a wrong chair in the lobby, there's you know, probably straight away someone's going to take a picture and say, well, this chair is pink, the rest of the hotel's red. How does that work?
Did you think of that at all
in the design process? And how does that hotel then come to life? Because between Carl's ideas and then bringing it into life and turning it into a working hospitality operation, I would imagine there's a small bridge to gap there.
Absolutely. I think to your point, is there a wrong chair or isn't? I think the definition of wrong or right is probably not the right definition. Why? Because Carl has meant and means different things and feelings to different people. Mm-hmm. Is not a cookie cutter approach. You know, for one group of people, he's the kind of black and white rock star chic. For others, he's the
people who wear sweatpants have lost control.
Exactly. For others, he was the witty intellectual with reference to the 300,000 books that he owned. For others, he was the photographer that basically kind of shot photographic artwork better than nobody else. So this is also what we're trying to bring to the projects that we are working with. Mm. We have an amazing fundus, if you can say so, of ideas and reference points of Carl. As example, we've been working, Carl has been working with so many different artists that have been making different interpretations also of him as a persona or of Choupette in a very artistic way. So there is residential projects where this architectural angle finds its place.
Yeah.
If you think about a bespoke residential project where you want to really kind of dial into some areas of interest of Carl's in a very specific way, imagine there is 300,000 books in his library. The book library that you were referring to in the Macau Hotel is basically referring exactly to the books that he owns or owned. So basically, it's not kind of made up some books, it's these books. So if you're saying, oh, I'm into a certain country or whatever, then you will find the books of that country you're interested in that Carl had in his stack, in his library, in the library of the residential project. Mm. Or if you're saying, oh, I'm very much into the photography work of Carl in that period, then that is bespoke photograph work that you can find in your residences that nobody else can have because it's the private collection of Carl's.
It's so interesting when you tell the story because the way that you guys have ventured into hospitality from a fashion brand to then, you know, into architecture when, as you mentioned, you know, people and friends have asked Carl, hey, can you help me design this space or this habitat or this home or this lobby, to then doing your own things. And now if you look at it, it almost feels like you're cheating because you have the best resources in the world. You've got the most creative people on short dial in your phones. You've got great artists. You've got great manufacturers. Do you feel like that has helped in the process? It must have helped in the process in some capacity or another, that the partnerships that you as a fashion maison can bring are you know, second to none, probably, when it comes to creativity, design, product, for all we care. And before we started the recording, we just talked about product and European airlines, where we will get to that again. Mm-hmm. That must feel like you've got a some form of competitive advantage, at least, over, again, with all due respect, and you know, they're clearly doing something right as well. But from a knowledge perspective, do you feel like you have something that others might not have?
Yeah. I think the advantage that we have is that we are run, though we are part of a listed group, we are run like a family business. Mm. What does that mean? There is people in our team that have worked with Carl for more than 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you think about, as example, our head of image and communications, Caroline Lebar, she was the right-hand person of Carl's for many years, worked more than 30 years with her. She has been touching, together with Carl, basically all the projects he has been doing outside of Chanel and Fendi. So basically all the architectural projects. We have other people that worked with Carl for many years on architecture projects and other projects. And they are still with us. They are part of that family business. Yeah. So basically, you're not only dialing into archives and scrapbooks of Carl, but you are basically tapping into all that kind of rich archive of these people's brains and experience. Yeah. And I think that sets us apart and also helps us also to steer other partners like architects that we're working with and developers that we're working with, because it always taps back to what Carl did or how Carl would do it today. And that makes, I think, a big difference.
And isn't that also a massive testimony to the team? The fact that, you know, Carl's no longer with us since 5 years now, approaching six, and yet you still have that fundus and you know, the brand hasn't dialed back a single piece before you know, you said at the beginning certain growth elements that have happened as well and continue to happen 5 years down the road. You know, we've been through a pandemic, which, you know, contributed in one capacity or another. I want to touch on, obviously, one of the reasons why the two of us got introduced to each other, and that is some of the more recent things that you're doing. There's a beautiful branded residences project coming to Dubai in close collaboration with Taraf, and I know that you know there's in Maidan here in Dubai, and I know that is a fairly new concept to Karl Lagerfeld and the brand. Branded residences as a whole, a relatively young concept in hospitality compared to some of the other more traditional ones. Walk me through the first time you heard about this branded residences idea in a place like Dubai. What were kind of the first thoughts that came to your mind or to the team's mind when you heard about this? And what kind of your reasoning is behind this? Because again, the branded residence idea, something that's very unique, not a classical hotel operation by any means, but something that makes just so much sense for a brand and a maison like Karl Lagerfeld, because you can really do some super individual things, correct?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, what came to my mind when I first heard about that project, the first thing I thought, it very much speaks to Carl's mantra. Carl's mantra always has been embrace the present and invent the future.
Yeah.
And if you think about Dubai, it does represent like only a few places in the world that mantra. What Dubai has been able to do in the past decades and what it is about to do in the future is exactly that, embracing what they got at hand and taking it into the future in a very irreverent way. That's for sure. And if you think about it, if you can be part of that, and if you can be part of an environment that is so multicultural, where there is so many different nationalities and cultures coming in, it's the best way of representing your brand and becoming part of it, because that is what we are. We are a very multicultural house. And so therefore that was the first thing I thought, is like the place fits to us.
Yeah.
And then of course you think about how can you then make a project like that, an individual habitat, and make it relevant for people that want to live there today. And that is where, of course, the work starts. And that is where you also have to be true, A, to the place you find, the people that are supposed to live in there, and then also to your brand.
Yeah.
And I think what we have done pretty well is we dialed back into the type of place that Carl loved himself a lot, which is actually very much also the house we are working in Paris. It is a beautiful Haussmannian villa that Carl loved in Rue Saint-Guillaume. And he loved it for many reasons, for the architecture, but also how the light went in, how the staircase built itself up in the light and everything. And we then refer to Carl's mantra of embracing the present, what you got at hand, and then also developing the future. And we said, okay, take this Haussmannian villa and make it contemporary. And basically mirror the idea, but in a very modern way. And that is what we have done, and that is what we're doing. And I think it is what Carl would have done. I think Carl would have applauded this way of going about.
Yeah.
It's like, take the inspiration of the past, it was great, but take it into the future. And I think that was the guiding principle of it all.
If we look at branded residences and you know, the hotel element as well, for the brand, people. Would you agree that there's also an element there of presenting the brand potentially to a new audience, to perhaps people that might not naturally either be in touch? I would assume most people have heard of Karl Lagerfeld anyways in the Western world, but is there an element there of these projects also serving as a catalyst, is maybe the wrong word, but serving as a jumping board into new audiences, perhaps, that you are looking to capture? Was that part of the thinking process?
Absolutely. This is definitely part of the thinking process. And I would go even a step ahead. I would say part of the thinking process is that as a fashion house, you cannot understand yourself anymore only as a fashion house. Mm. What does that mean? People today, they do not want to buy a product. They have enough product. And I think we have seen that also, particularly in the past 2 years, even luxury consumption in the fashion world is not as it was before. And the climate changes to people trying to add more meaning in the way how they spend money. They want to look at it more rather as an investment in feeling good, in experiences, in something that sticks in their memory. Mm-hmm. That means also then for a fashion house, if you do not understand yourself only as a fashion house, you must become a connection point, an emotional connection point for your audience. Mm-hmm. You have to bring them meaningful stories in different ways and in different moments of their lives. And if you can get your hands around making them feel part of a Karl Lagerfeld world lifestyle, feeling,
experience of a sort
in their habitat, you definitely get a different access to them because you become part of their lives, of their way of living. Mm. And then you create a different bond to the brand. And of course, residences or hospitality is only one angle to it, but it's also others. It's entertainment. Recently there has been the Becoming Karl Lagerfeld series on Disney Plus. We're working on a movie with Jared Leto right now in Hollywood. It's the experience needs to go beyond fashion. Mm. It's like how you connect people to the world you represent, that you stand for.
And has that changed, Pierpaolo? Because if I think of, and this might be my limited knowledge of the fashion world, but, and I have a confession to make there in a second, I'll come to that. Has that changed? Because I think there was a time, maybe 15, 20 years ago, where perhaps the fashion industry was also still in a different place, where the thought process was more, let's be super protective of our space and of what we do and how we're seen. Whereas now the mindset that you just explained is, can we do more? Is there more that we can give to embrace people on this Karl Lagerfeld journey, to take them by the hand and say, hey, sure, there's a nice, you know, shirt here. There's some nice pants, a beautiful dress, but there's more to it. There's a movie here. There's a hotel here. There's a branded residence here. There's an entertainment series there. Has that mindset changed? Also from a CEO's role, because there's clearly some thinking that had to change there as well, no?
Absolutely. I think it has changed dramatically. And I think the time horizon that you just kind of mentioned, like 10, 15 years, I think is also the moment when it started to change. Mm. You know, if you think about it, Karl, he has been the ideator, the inventor of collaborations. Mm. He was the very first one collaborating about 15 years ago already with H&M. Mm-hmm. It was so unheard of that a luxury designer would all of a sudden go mass market and street. Yeah. And he did dare to do that. He did dare to do that. He ventured out. He broke boundaries. Mm. And then there have been many, many collaborations coming thereafter, not only for Karl Lagerfeld, but actually for the whole fashion world in the last 5 years, particularly, you could say, like everybody ventured into collaborations, something that was pretty unheard of like still 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember I was coming originally from the sports industry. I came from Nike. And the way how Nike ideated was very much about storytelling. What's the story you want to tell? You develop the product and then you kind of you create the link with your audience. And what we have been doing also at Karl Lagerfeld is looking at our way of operating very much like a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. There is the Karl Lagerfeld series, so to say, and then there's different episodes. Mm-hmm. And the episodes have to be in itself stories that engage with your audience, are fun, are meaningful, mm-hmm. and resonate cool. with. And then you develop the product alongside with it. Mm-hmm. But that way of going about what a fashion house is has, I think, changed for many houses. Not for all. Some are still, I think, kind of working in their space.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of way of making it a series with relevant episodes has become more an integral part for many houses. Yeah.
If we swing back to hospitality, what are your expectations from this? Is there anything, you know, what is there to come in the future? Are there more hospitality projects that you are looking to do? Are you looking to keep this fairly small for the simple reason to preserve also this brand? I imagine there's probably never going to be a time where there's 150 Karl Lagerfeld hotels around the world. I get that.
Yeah.
But are we going to see perhaps at least, you know, looking at 5 to 10 hospitality projects in the near future? And my question is, what are some of the things that you've seen from hospitality that you like? And is there anything also, is there perhaps a learning curve there as well, where you thought, ooh, when we started this, we didn't really see that coming?
Yeah. Well, I think the future will tell us how many Karl Lagerfeld products, projects we're going to see. I think there will be more. There is a few in the pipelines, what there will be a clear natural limit in terms of also making sure that the Karl DNA is greatly reflected, that we're true to what we are and stand for as a house. So there is limitations, but I still see that there is also kind of a lot of space for us to develop. If I think what the biggest pitfalls are, I would say, put it that way, what is the most important, I think, is respect. Mm. And I would say there is two dimensions of the respect. The first dimension is you have to have a great respect for the consumer, the target audience. Mm. So you develop for the audience and not for yourself. Mm. Secondly, you have to have great respect for your partner, the developer, and his needs. Mm. If you don't do that, it doesn't make sense.
It's going to be a difficult partnership.
And then you have to, the third dimension is the respect for who you are, for your core DNA, what you want to bring across as the true Karl Lagerfeld representation. And my biggest learning is that this triangle works only if it is an equal triangle. And but that's also something I learned from Karl, because he would look at everything he has been doing, even in fashion, like this. Who's my audience? Who I partner with? And who am I? Mm. And that it has to work for all three.
Yeah.
It's very pragmatic, but, you know, pragmatism cannot be overrated, I guess. Yeah.
Very good. I have to ask the obvious question when I have somebody from the fashion industry in the room. How often, Pierre Paolo, are you in interviews or in conversations and somebody asks you about the latest fashion trends? Because I imagine also when you have conversations with you know, branded residences, I would imagine there's a lot of people that will ask you about fashion trends. I have a confession here. I'm usually quite okay with my wardrobe and style and everything. This is the first podcast where I changed outfits 3 times this morning and I wasn't really sure what to wear. How often is that still the classic fashion background still a thing in conversations that you have and people come to you guys for advice? And where I'm leading with this question, I guess, is have you said no to projects? Has there been projects where you've said, this is probably not for us, for whatever the reason might be, the triangle of trust, if we call it what you just explained, being one of it, but also because, you know, it didn't work for other reasons. And I'm not just talking financially. Obviously, there's a financial balance there that goes without saying.
Yeah. So to your first question about, call it fashion advice or fashion trend.
What's in the winter? Can you give me some?
No, I can't. Actually, I can't. But if you were to ask me for advice, I would always say the biggest trend is, and I think it's an amazing trend, is being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think if what you wear makes you feel better, more confident, then it's
Run it. Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that houses more and more understand that. They're right. more enablers rather than dictators.
Enforcers.
Yeah. Exactly. But then also that brings me then to your second question. Is there projects that we have said no to? And yes, we did. And surprisingly enough, it has not been like, oh, it was not the right place or not that much. It has, if it has been stumbling somewhere, it has been the partnership. Mm. So I think it's extremely important that the people around the table understand each other very well, what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
And build a bond and a trust and also I would say a fun in working together. If that element doesn't work, then that is well not only for the residential hospitality area, of course, that is basically like
the essence,
of everything, how we treat everything we do. It's like if it doesn't feel right with the other group around the table, it doesn't mean that one is better good, then you better walk.
Yeah. I know you need to crack on and there's a tight schedule and the brand residences forum of Vich is waiting. I have three more questions for you. And obviously something that we do here on Smack is we send out our spies and find a little bit of background information. And so I have some fun questions here for you. When you and Carl first met, I know that he offered you a tour of his house in Paris.
He did.
Can you walk me through the very first moments of how that was and what kind of the conversation was?
Oh, yeah. I can do that. I remember it was in summer. I was walking to his house in Rue de Saint-Père in Paris. And I remember I was wearing white pants and it was pouring rain. One of these torrential summer rains. So I was basically ringing the doorbell, butler open. I came in, pitch wet. Carl came a while after. And then the first thing he said is like, oh, I could have told you before. White pants in the city brings rain. So that I remember. And we had an amazing lunch.
I've heard about that lunch. There was an embarrassing moment there of some sort.
Okay.
Where I'm going.
No, that's where you're going. Okay. Yeah, that was an embarrassing moment. We had an amazing lunch. We're talking about business and what we wanted to do with the Karl Lagerfeld brand. He was talking about fashion, everything up and down. And then we also spoke about collaborations. Carl was doing quite some collaborations in that time with many different brands. And some of them I loved and some of them I thought, maybe a bit too much. And, you know, I was coming from the sports industry.
Yeah.
Things are pretty straightforward.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nike background. You basically talk what you think. And then I said, well, Carl, I like a lot of the things you're doing, but there's a few collaborations actually. And remember, it was my first meeting with Carl. that I really think like I would not have done necessarily. And there was this radio silence
awkward
in the room.
Silence. Yeah.
And Carl being silent hasn't really appeared to happen so much thereafter. And he was looking at me like, what the heck is the guy saying? And then I really felt like, oh my God, I have really screwed it in the first hour. I have to say something. And I said, no, Carl, you misunderstood me. What I meant is we should really do one big collaboration like, and then I was making something up. The only thing that came to mind was like, I was thinking like a Hollywood movie. That's what I said. And then he was so relieved. I could see the whole body kind of
language
much more
changing.
Language changing. Yeah. Ah bon. Okay, I understand that. And he said like, and the fun thing is, now that Carl passed, we were working actually on a Hollywood movie. Back then, I didn't really mean it, but it is a full circle moment.
Yeah, very good. Pier Paolo, from all the travels that you've done, it's a frequent question we always send out. Give me a hotel that is not the Karl Lagerfeld branded residence or Macau that you particularly like, enjoy? Is there a property that comes to mind where you say, I've had some great times? And the reasons are yours to keep, but what's a property where you say...
Yeah. I 2 weeks ago, I spent a weekend in Porto, and I was at an amazing place. It was a boutique hotel. I think it has only 18 rooms. And as we, it's the former owners of the jewelry brand Pandora. They built it. I'm basically thinking around like, what's the name? Oh, Mamma Mia! I would love to.
We'll blend it in.
Blend it in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to say, the experience was amazing. They made my wife and me feel really at home. The rooms were really like was of such a high quality as you would have done it at home. I think it's a place where I would say like, oh, I would like to go there tomorrow. And I've been at many places, but I would say where I've been like 2 weeks ago was amazing.
It ranks up there in the top three.
Because it made you feel like it's your own place. It's your home, you know, like not a hotel, so to say.
Which is a rare event. Very good. And then the final question I wanted to ask, if we look at the Karl Lagerfeld brand and kind of think 5 years down the road, in an ideal world, and I'm going to tie this back to hospitality a little bit, in an ideal world, what would you like to have completed by then? Perhaps another hotel, the branded residences will be ready and done with by the time the 5 years have passed. Macau is well on the way. We've talked about it. A quick outlook of what you're looking for?
Yeah, we're currently working on a concrete new hotel project. Yep. I think we'll be able to announce that very soon. So I will definitely love to see that be live and kicking and maybe one other hotel project. And maybe a few bespoke residential projects. So we're not talking in the tens, but something that we can digest and work with love and passion for in the next couple of years.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
It was.
Pierre Paolo, thank you for your time. Have a good day. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
See you soon. Bye-bye. That's it for this episode, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to share your thoughts on this episode and everything else that is going on at Smack with us by checking out our website at smack.media or connect with us on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Instagram. We'll see you next time.